For any size donation before December 1st, we'll send you my new Advent devotional booklet. Make a secure online gift at thewordendures.org or make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And we'll send you my Advent devotional booklet.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
And notice that he does not rebuke them. He accepts worship from them. People who say Jesus never claimed to be God just don't know what they are talking about. Period.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Matthew.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. So last time we saw Jesus shoo away the disciples in the boat to cross to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And then, though it was evening, he went up the mountain to pray alone to his Father. I commented that we need in our lives this wonderful rhythm that he shows here of joining together to pray in his name and then also going apart and praying privately. A life without both is not the life he sets before us. I wondered a bit about what he was praying for, but I don't doubt that part of his prayer through that long night was consumed with praying words of the Psalter, for they are all the words of his own heart. Late in the night, of course, he scares the dickens out of them in the middle of the lake as he just strolls across the waves, remember Yahweh, Job 9, and shows up beside their boat. They scream in terror, convinced they're seeing a ghost. He's no ghost. He can do things with his body and blood that are beyond our wildest imaginations because his body and blood are personally united to the eternal Son of God. Nothing is impossible for him. He drives away their fears with a word. Be courageous or take heart. It is I. And remember that it literally means be courageous, take heart, I am. Yahweh's name. And remember that Jesus is Yahweh come to save. That's what Jesus means. You've got no barrier he cannot reach across to help you. But sometimes he lets things get pretty hairy before he steps in to teach you to trust that in the end, he will rescue. Truly. Moving on, the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 28th verse. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. And so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. St. Matthew 14, verses 28 to 36. Let us pray. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, to us and to your whole church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word, as befits it, may not be bound, but a free course, and be preached and taught to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ready to dig into today's reading? Let's do it. Verse 28. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. You gotta love St. Peter, don't you? Always so eager and rushing ahead. I really believe that St. Mark's gospel is the account told by St. Peter, and that's why it's filled to the brim with this little word, oitus, which literally means immediately or straightway, or the way I like to render it, and right away. The impetuosity of the man is a constant in all the little glimpses we get of him through the Gospels and in Acts. So no surprise here at all that of all the disciples, he speaks up and he asks a daring gift, doesn't he? Lord, if it's really you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, St. John Chrysostom, our great teacher from late 4th century Antioch, told his congregation that Peter wasn't showing off by strolling on the sea. He was merely asking to come near to where Jesus was, to be with him. He wanted to be where Christ was. I really like that. Now, we noted that Christ can do anything he wants with his body. Does his power have limits then when it comes to our bodies? Well, consider verse 29. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Can you even imagine Peter and the others' awe? Jesus enabled them to do with their bodies the seemingly impossible. Maybe it shouldn't have caught them by surprise. They'd already experienced his healing power flowing through them to others. But there seems to be in this a miracle of a different order. Here is gravity's Lord. And at his command, gravity is suspended. Water, heavier than a human body. Well, for a glorious moment. But, verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me! Saw the wind? That's a weird one, isn't it? I think saw here means saw the effects of the wind on the surface of the sea. Maybe the waves grew a bit more tumultuous at that moment. Whatever it was, it distracted St. Peter. Instead of keeping his eyes trained, fixed on Jesus, he looked away at the dangers threatening to engulf him, and he began to go down. And as he started to sink down into the waves, his eyes came back to where they should never have left, to the face of his Jesus. And he uttered the prayer of his heart, Lord, save me. Folks, if your eyes have strayed from Jesus and you feel like you're going down, sinking, lift them back to that face that stares serenely upon you in a love that does not fail, and cry to him for salvation. Say to him, Lord, save me. Because then it will be his delight and joy to do for you exactly what he did for St. Peter. Verse 31. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, O, you of little faith, why did you doubt? There's St. Peter's word right away. You see, there's no interval between the cry, Lord, save me, and Jesus reaching out his hand to take hold of his own. No interval. He does, however, chide him a bit. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? The doubting here is what Satan always seeks to sow into us, to make us take our eyes off of Jesus and fix them on all the problems and the struggles and the disasters looming right around us, ready to engulf us. But with our eyes on Jesus, faith won't fail. To you, O Lord, I lift up my eyes. O you who are enthroned in the heavens, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Psalm 123. That's how faith talks. And when our eyes are fixed on the face of God in the flesh, of Jesus, then the storms can't frighten us into sinking. Verse 32 and 33. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. We assume that when he got into the boat with them is when they planted their faces at his feet, confessing the only thing that makes any sense given what this man says and does. He is truly the Son of God, or said another way, he is truly God the Son, showing up among us in our own flesh and blood. Earlier, in the previous storm that he had stilled, they were just asking, who is this who speaks to the winds and waves and they obey him? Now they don't ask, they confess. And notice that he does not rebuke them. He accepts worship from them. People who say Jesus never claimed to be God just don't know what they are talking about, period. Verse 34. And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. I imagine they land it with their minds still spinning, and yet with their hearts brimming with joy. He was the presence of joy itself to them. He chased away their fears and saved them, and that salvation above all was bringing them into communion with himself, sharing his life with them. Gennesaret is a wide plain along the shore of the sea on the west side. Verse 35, and when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick. They didn't have the internet to pass his pick around, but folks had learned who he was. And when he showed up, wherever he showed up, they recognized that an opportunity was set before them that was extraordinary. And so they do what folks have been doing wherever he appears. They rush to bring him their own who are sick, who are suffering. And St. Matthew says they brought to him all who were sick in that region. He left a crowd, had a little bit of quiet time in prayer, saved his disciples on the sea, showed them that he was truly Yahweh in the flesh, received their worship, and came ashore to do it all over again. But here, the evangelist adds a tidbit that's very curious. Verse 36. And implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Doesn't it remind you of what we heard back in Matthew 9? The woman who snuck up in the crowds, though she was technically ceremonially unclean due to her issue of blood, and touched the fringe of his garment, saying, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. Remember, he didn't let her get away with stealing the gift. He insisted on publicly presenting it to her. Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Did word get around then in that area that with Jesus, it was just enough to touch his garments in saving faith, and life and healing flowed out from him through them to you? We saw that in walking on water, letting Peter walk on water, and here with this clothing, Jesus is doing stuff that's beyond anything that human beings could ever accomplish, but all of it testifies exactly to the truth which the disciples confessed in the boat. This man, who is truly a man, is nevertheless God with us. He is the Son of God, and his power and his grace are beyond all our calculations and guesses. Next time, we're back to confrontation in teaching between Jesus and the Pharisees and scribes. They dislike the behavior of the disciples that doesn't conform to their traditions. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Jesus will defend his disciples yet again, challenge them with their behavior, not against human traditions, but against God's holy law. Till then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.